Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, the talk turns to the state legislature, the new bills being discussed, and the impact of the 2015 state budget. We'll look at new initiatives on nuclear power and for our rural communities and student loans and the fallout from last year's votes on the Government Accountability Board and the John Doe laws. I'm Glenn Moberg, and joining us from Madison are Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst and Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point. Tom Tiffany was elected to the State Assembly in 2010 and to the State Senate in 2012. He is the chair of the Committee on Sporting Heritage, Mining and Forestry, and vice chair of the Committee on Agriculture, Small Business, and Tourism. He represents Northern Wisconsin's 12th Senate District. Representative Katrina Shankland was first elected to the Assembly in 2012 and became Assistant Minority Leader in 2015. She is vice chair of the Speaker's Task Force on Youth Workforce Readiness, and she serves on the Committee on Natural Resources and Sporting Heritage. She represents Central Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District. Now, as always today, we want to hear from you. If you have a question for Katrina Shankland or Tom Tiffany, if you have concerns about the issues that are facing our state government, or opinions about the bills that have been passed over the past year, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Now, Wisconsin is famously considered a purple state, with an electorate evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans. We've gone from all Democratic Party control of our state government just a few years ago to all Republican Party control of the state government today. Is our state now headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? As today's show producer, Mackenzie Martin, discovered, it depends on who you ask.
As new bills begin to be debated in the legislature, many Wisconsin residents are asking themselves their own question. Is Wisconsin headed in the right direction? Dick Lipinski, who's retired from the private insurance industry and says he tends to lean Democratic, says recent legislation worries him.
If you sit back and observe the things that are happening when there's legislation proposed to unravel a workers' compensation law that's been successful in this state, when you see legislation that seems to be attempting to restrict voting capabilities of people in Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, which recently surfaced, and when you see other budget actions that have substantially reduced the amount of money going into our public school system, it's really hard to say that we're going in the right direction.
Dr. Fred Prain of Prain Dental, a self-described moderate Republican, feels like Governor Walker has moved Wisconsin in a much better direction by decreasing regulation.
I think it's definitely headed in the better direction than it was 6-7 years ago, absolutely. I know the governor's had some critics, and maybe some of the ways he went about things has merit. However, the amount of regulation we had prior to his administration was extensive, burdensome. It was a hardship for businesses. What I like about the present way Wisconsin's going is trying to be pro-business, pro-jobs, less regulation in my life. And I'm a big believer that government has a role in society, but don't regulate my life.
Mary Claire Freeman, a Democrat and retired teacher, feels that the government has begun to cater to only certain people. She's disturbed by the $250 million cuts to the University of Wisconsin system.
The government is not interested in all of its people, but only in those who are at the top echelon of money. The education is not important to them. The DNR has become a tool of right-wing people, so our environment has been impacted by negative government. It's the whole shebang that is wrong.
On the other hand, Joy Orozco, a Republican who is a teacher and campus minister at Newman High School, feels that education in Wisconsin is headed in a better direction.
As a teacher, even though I am in the private sector, I can see that our education system has also moving in the right direction, where we have higher standards for our students, higher standards for our teachers, and higher standards for our schools. Not only are we asked as teachers to be better prepared and to have better techniques on how to teach and how to address all the different learning styles, but I think that the monies are being put to good use.
Ben Powell, a retired teacher who identifies as a Democrat, feels that Wisconsin has completely changed its identity for the worse.
We used to be a very proud and progressive state. Now we're being compared to Arkansas and Mississippi. Starting with Act 10, we've tried to dismantle the state's economy, its education system, and its university. And the only thing that we've really succeeded in the last couple years is changing the model from forward to backward.
Self-described conservative Mark Carrico says that Walker is just doing what needs to be done in order to get Wisconsin out of debt.
Well, you know, I mean, Walker was voted in. If you take a lot of the things that happened, they didn't like it, like on the health care, people having to pay more into their own pensions and people having to pay more deductibles on their health insurance. We've all been doing that all our life. I think that helped, you know. I think it got us out of debt.
Wisconsin is a purple state, an almost equal mix of Republicans and Democrats who have different opinions on where we've been and where we're going. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Mackenzie Martin.
Our own Mackenzie Martin talking to people in central Wisconsin about the direction of our state and our state government. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to a legislative forum on Route 51 with Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany and Democratic State Representative Katrina Shanklin. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's start with you, Katrina Shanklin. What do you agree with and what do you disagree with and what you just heard from our central Wisconsin residents? In other words, are we headed in the right direction or the wrong direction?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I always appreciate the opportunity and love your show. I think it's, you know, I agree that people are split on whether or not the state is headed in the right direction. But what I disagree with is it's definitely not evenly split. We've seen a lot of polling over the last few years that indicate that many voters across Wisconsin are very unhappy with the way things are going. For example, in the most recent Marquette Law poll, which our state generally follows very closely, 61% of voters are really not happy with the majority party in Madison. And I think that says a lot about their priorities and where they see our state heading. So I think that's one example of how even though some people may say things are going well, I think the majority of people across the state recognize that we're lagging other states in job creation. In fact, 57% of voters in Wisconsin just recently recognized that, and 31% said we're about the same. So I think overwhelmingly looking at, you know, the numbers alone, but also including what I hear from constituents and people across the state all the time, they see a lot of room for improvement, and I think that should be our mandate in 2016 is let's do the people's work in the legislature.
Senator Tom Tiffany, have you joined us now in Madison?
Yeah, good morning, Glenn. Good to be here, and good to be here with Representative Shanklin.
Good morning. Thanks so much. And the same question for you. Are we headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? The people we talked to were evenly split.
Yeah, we're headed in the right direction, but there still are challenges. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest challenges we have at this point is getting enough trained workers here in the state of Wisconsin. That is our number one challenge as we go forward. So we certainly have challenges. But let's take a look at, since the wave in 2010, when Governor Walker came in, also that was the first year that I was elected, we paid off the $200 million that was stolen out of the Patients' Compensation Fund by the previous administration. We paid off $59 million in reciprocity payments that were owed to the state of Minnesota. We no longer have a $3 billion deficit. Property taxes have not gone up on a statewide basis for 5 years. College tuition is frozen. There's a lot of good things happening. We have a lower unemployment rate than the national average. Our workforce participation rate is higher than the national average. I mean, there's some good things there. Now, are there challenges? Absolutely. And we need to tackle those as we go forward, just as we've tackled the problems that we inherited in 2010.
Senator Tiffany, I'm going to ask both of you this question. What are your top priorities for 2016? What are you working on that you think are more important than the other things on the docket in Madison?
Actually, I have two bills. I just came out of a committee executive session where we passed two bills. One is in regards to the managed forest law. And I put it under the heading of more wood, less red tape, less regulation. If there's You know, Wisconsin has fallen out of the top 10 tax states. But I would never pretend that we're going to end up being one of the lowest tax states in the country. That's probably not going to happen. But taxes is only part of it. Something that's been holding us back is the extreme regulatory nature here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're trying to unshackle those loggers, mills, and others who have very long periods of time that it takes them to get permits. And so anyhow, I have an MFL managed forest law reform bill that hopefully will get more wood to market, make our mills competitive on a global basis. The other bill that we just passed is an aquaculture bill. Our aquaculture industry in Wisconsin is actually contracting. It is not growing, and it's because of largely because of excessive regulation. We're trying to streamline the regulations while maintaining good water quality standards. We're not going to sacrifice them in any way, but that's an industry that could really grow, that is growing in some other states, not in Wisconsin, and we need to make some regulatory changes to give them the opportunity.
Senator Tiffany, this is Senate Bill 493, correct?
That is correct.
Let me read what the River Alliance of Wisconsin said about your bill, and I'll let you respond to it after that. This is a quote from them. They call it a classic example of special interest backroom politics. They say, again, a quote, the bill was introduced on Tuesday, January 4th and scheduled for a hearing by your committee just 24 hours later. There was no one there to testify in opposition, but somehow beneficiaries knew that they should turn up to support it. And they accuse you of using, quote, sneaky tactics to get the bill passed public hearings. What's your response to that?
We actually had our first hearing on this. It was not an official hearing on the bill, but it was in regards to the challenges aquaculture faces in Wisconsin in Antigo over a month ago. I took something that does not always happen in the legislature. I said, I'm going to bring my committee to the people of northern Wisconsin. And we did that, and we heard the real concerns that are going on. We have fish farmers in Wisconsin, just small that are small family operations, that it's taken them 7 years, 13 years, to get permits for something that they proposed originally. They end up getting the permits, but it takes 7 to 13 years to get those permits. And so we are dealing with that. And one of the things that we're going to do with this bill, which is very important, we're going to use the federal standards. I'm usually not one that says, hey, let's let the federal government dictate to us what we're going to do. But in this instance with aquaculture, they have something called best management practices for aquaculture that we're in the bill instructing the DNR, follow the Clean Water Act recommendations that the EPA has made in regards to aquaculture. I think it's a good common sense reform and will benefit all of us here in Wisconsin.
Katrina Shanklin, you sit on the Assembly's Natural Resources and Sporting Heritage Committee. Your thoughts about Senate Bill 493?
Sure. And I'd also just like to speak about the many different bills going quickly through the legislature that many people see as either giveaways to developers and polluters or an attack on our pristine natural resources. Now, with aquaculture, first I want to say, you know, the legislature should support innovative industries like aquaculture, but we should not put our water-based tourism at risk. Instead, we should work together to create fair rules that every industry should abide by and not create carve-outs. I don't see the need to exempt any industry from water quality regulations that everyone else has to comply with. I think at the end of the day, every Wisconsinite recognizes the value of our clean water, and we want to keep it that way. So I'm concerned about that bill. In general, we have a lot of different bills moving swiftly through the legislature related to natural resources that also either severely restrict or undermine local control. And that's my priority would be to stop these bills in their tracks. An example of some of these bills, AB 600, which basically gives away public lake beds to developers for free and then limits access to those waters, could also potentially destroy some wetlands that are unprotected. AB 603 is another one that further compromises our strong shoreline zoning standards we were proud to have. AB 582 ends the ability of counties to regulate pollution and removes local control over zoning. So these are examples of bills that not only I think, attack our pristine natural resources, but also severely undermine, restrict, or stop altogether at local control. And I've heard from a lot of people in central Wisconsin and across the state who've noticed a pattern of state legislators in the Republican caucus taking away their local elected officials' voices, whom, you know, not only are closest to the people, but they also trust. And I think that's a huge concern. So I would hope to see these bills stopped in their tracks. I don't want to see them go to the floor. And as far as talking about proactive priorities, hopefully, Glenn, I have a couple minutes to talk about what I'd like to see happen in Madison over the next few months.
Let me get Tom Tiffany to respond to what you just said, and then we'll come back to you. Senator Tiffany, she claims that some of these measures being put forward by Republicans aren't very conservative at all. Conservatives are supposed to bring government back to the people, and Katrina Shanklin says you're trying to eliminate local control.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the aquaculture bill. We do not change the emission standards. Aquaculture facilities have to get WPDES permits, which are pollution discharge permits. We do not change in our bill in any way the limitations that are in place, the statewide limitations. They still have to comply with that. It's the matter in which they have to comply with them that we're changing to be able to allow them to do it more efficiently. And that would be beneficial to the industry. As far as the, I hear regularly the whole argument with local control. I would challenge my colleague, if you want to have local control, let's have pure local control then. Are you calling for the end of state regulations of all types? Because if you want to have pure local control, I'm willing to consider that. I would work with Representative Shanklin on a bill to allow pure local control where there are no state standards, where it's simply a hodgepodge across the state. Some of the people that are saying we're taking away local control are not respecting people's private property rights. I believe the ultimate local control is the private property owner. Now, the private property owner has to make sure that they're not harming their neighbor. That's very important. But we also have to protect people's private property rights.
Katrina Shanklin, are you unconcerned with private property rights, and would you be willing to eliminate all state control, which Senator Tiffany says he would be willing to consider?
So I think the senator presented a false argument. And again, I would like to present an alternative vision for our state and our priorities in the next few months. So I want to make sure I have time for that. But real quickly, let me just use a great example of, I think, a terrible attack on local control. Our state had a very proud tradition of protecting our lakes by using shoreland zoning standards. And in this budget, the budget that the Joint Finance Committee Republicans supported, we saw the shoreland zoning standards essentially completely eliminated local control. It invalidates every county standards so long as the county's standards surpass the state's minimum standard. So essentially what the state said to local governments was, you cannot surpass our statewide minimum. You have to keep the floor. You can't create a ceiling. And I think that's wrong. I think if local governments want to surpass a statewide minimum, that they should have the right to do so. And to prevent local governments from acting to protect their waters, protect their tourism, protect their property owners, I think is a gross attack on local control. And that's why over 20 counties, including many counties in Senator Tiffany's district, spoke out against this provision and said, you know, we really want to see further protections of our, not only our local control, but also of our water. So I think that, you know, the false argument of saying we can either have no local control or we can just have some, I don't think that's a good argument. I think we should focus on what the state can do to allow local governments to surpass minimum standards, which in many cases we used to allow. Now, I have a legislative council, our nonpartisan agency of attorneys, memo that shows that over the past 5 years, legislators in the Republican caucus have passed legislation to undermine local governments 30 times in their first legislative session, 2011 to 12, 34 times in the 2013 to 14 legislative session, and so far in this session, this is not counting bills that have passed, we've seen 37 provisions. So for a party that says, you know, they care a lot about local control, we're really seeing the opposite. And I think we need to look at making sure that school boards, city councils, and county governments have their voices, just as duly elected state legislators.
Well, I think Senator Tiffany would say that he's concerned about private property owners more than he's concerned about the control that would be put on them by local governments. But I do want to get your other priorities, Katrina Shanklin. I asked Tom Tiffany
Glenn,
for
real
his.
Real quickly, and I'll turn this over to Katrina, but just real quickly, I just want to make a comment in regards to the local control issue. She cited counties in my district that said they do not support what she terms an attack on local control. After counties understood what we did in the budget bill in regards to shoreland zoning, in Vilas County, they were split evenly, 10-10, in regards to saying you should repeal these. Oneida County didn't even take a vote. Lincoln County voted not to send us a resolution saying change the shoreland zoning standards. Forest and Florence counties, their zoning committees didn't even take it up. They said, in effect, we support what you did, or we don't oppose. At a minimum, we don't oppose what you did. So I would urge Representative Shanklin and others to really look at what happened after those changes in Act 55. The other thing that I'd say in regards to local control, the MFL bill that we just passed, that where the managed forest law closed fees go to the state, that was as a result of Governor Doyle back in 2004, where he took property taxes away from local municipalities and redirected them to the state. In my bill, we return all $8 million back to local municipalities. That's local control.
Katrina Shanklin, give me a list of your priorities in the years ahead, and particularly in what's left of the 2015-2016 session, and then we've got to take a quick break.
Sure. So I just want to take a look quickly at what happened in 2015 in the legislature and what we can do to move forward together and make sure that our state is better positioned for economic opportunity for everyone. If you look at what happened in the budget, we saw a $250 million cut from the UW system. The state's long-term care programs were dismantled, including IRIS. We saw our open records attacked, which was eventually reversed, but you know, we see that the speaker in the assembly, for example, still drafted an open records law. We saw more money, more of our tax dollars given to private schools and taken away from public schools. We saw some attacks on local control. And moving, you know, forward through the legislature, we also saw Republicans had a special session on dismantling the Government Accountability Board and putting more money in politics. And I should say all of this, you know, from the university cuts to long-term care changes, were Republican, part of the Republican agenda. And I don't see that working for everyone. I see that working for a small group of people. So what I would like to see in 2016 is an agenda that works for everyone, creating an economy that works for everyone and a government that represents everyone. And Assembly Democrats have put forward two different packages. One is our economic opportunity agenda that helps raise wages and grows family-supporting jobs by investing in fast-growing, high-demand fields that pay well, like biotechnology and nanotechnology and clean energy jobs. Another thing, rural broadband investments made in America and by Wisconsin, and tax credits for hardworking people like the Earned Income Tax Credit, Homestead Tax Credit, and tax credits for small businesses. We also have the Bring Back the Middle Class Empowerment Agenda, and that would make sure that everyone who works hard gets a fair shot and has a chance to get ahead. And real quickly, those are bills to make child care more affordable by providing tax relief to families with child care costs. We know that child care costs almost the same amount as tuition in this state. We need to tackle both of those. Higher ed, lower debt would allow 800,000 student loan borrowers in this state to refinance their student loans like they already can with a car loan or mortgage and give them a tax break. So that's basic fairness. We would also want to strengthen retirement security so everyone who works hard can spend time with their family. And in addition, we don't think that anyone should have to choose between their job and their family. So if you have a child who's sick at home, you shouldn't have to choose between keeping your job and keeping your child healthy. And so earned sick days and paid family leave would allow workers to do that.
Katrina Shanklin, that's our agenda. That's a long list. How are you going to pay for it?
How will we pay for it? Well, a lot of these bills actually are either modest or don't, in some cases, don't cost anything other than doing a study. So I think that in this case, what we need to do is not only look at some of the costs in the last budget, the $70 billion budget, that really have ballooned. And a great example would be the manufacturing egg and tax credit, which continues to cost more than budgeted for, and also roll back some of the tax breaks for the top 1%. So I think looking at some of those initiatives, we can find over $1 billion in ways to, you know, cut back on what I would call either waste or maybe priorities that shouldn't, that only help a few people instead of a lot of people. So that's an example of ways that we could look at the budget in the future, going into the next, you know, in 2017, to find ways that really help working families.
All right, Senator Tiffany, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to respond to that, and then we have to take a break.
Yeah. Well, we set our priorities through the budget, and there's some really good stuff there. The broadband grants that Representative Shanklin refers to, we added to them from the program we put in place the previous budget. So those are happening, and many of them are going to northern Wisconsin. Fabrication labs going into schools, we allocated money for that. Senior care, we're fully funding senior care. Tuition is not going up for middle-class families here in the state of Wisconsin that want to go to the UW school. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are happening in Wisconsin. And as we go forward, we've got the HOPE provision put together by Representative Nygren in regards to dealing with opiate abuse, and the creative economy proposal that was just put forth by Senator Harsdorf, passed out of committee yesterday, to really help those arts-oriented organizations that, you know, if we can help them along a little bit. Lots of good stuff that's happening here in the legislature.
Tom Tiffany, Republican from Hazelhurst. Katrina Shanklin, Democrat from Stevens Point. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. David from Wisconsin Rapids, hang on. We'll be taking your call right after this break.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Menominee Street Dental, Becca Cates, and Birch Creek Music Performance Center. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer and Trollop, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer and Trollop, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. Today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, a legislative forum. We're looking at what remains of the 2015-2016 legislative session in Madison with Senator Tom Tiffany, a Republican from Hazelhurst, and Representative Katrina Shanklin, a Democrat from Stevens Point. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to David in Wisconsin Rapids. David, you're on with Senator Tiffany and Representative Shanklin.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I have a question for Senator Tiffany. He makes it sound like deregulation, specifically concerning environmental laws, are going to be a good thing for the state, and will protect our water, even with the deregulation. But my question to him is, okay, what about Kewaunee County? 30% of the people in Kewaunee County that are on wells can't drink their water, and a lot of people can't even wash in that water. And who is liable for that? There's 16 CAFOs in Kewaunee County. It seems that they're being able to pollute without any consequences.
David, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to let Senator Tiffany respond, and I am going to have to drop you because we've got three telephone lines coming in right now, and you can listen off air. Tom Tiffany, your response.
I would have to look more closely at the Kewaunee County situation. I've not studied that closely. It's not in my district. But to David's point, just the process of having regulation doesn't mean that you're going to that you're doing it appropriately. It's the results that we get. And if you look at the environment, both in our state and in our country, we continue to get better and better year after year. I mean, just take a look at our power plants. Since the late 90s, we've reduced sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide by like 80 and 90% respectively. It is a huge decrease, and we're really doing better by the environment. What I look at is I want to make sure that we're making it the least burdensome possible to be able to meet the existing standards. Because the bills that I've been writing, like this aquaculture bill, it doesn't change the numeric limits that the aquaculture businesses can emit. Doesn't change that at all. It's just the process. And if we can streamline them, make it less expensive, I think we'll have more businesses, more individuals that are going to want to do that. In the case of aquaculture, those are all family-run businesses. These aren't corporate farms, and we want to encourage them to be able to succeed.
Katrina Shankland, there are a lot of CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, in and around the Stevens Point area. Your response to David from Wisconsin Rapids, are we doing enough to protect the environment?
Well, I'm really glad he brought that up because he's absolutely right. One in three wells in Kewaunee County are unsafe for drinking water. Kewaunee County also has among the highest number of CAFOs in the state, according to the DNR. And I think, you know, there's fractured bedrock there where bacteria from manure can reach the groundwater more easily. And what our state really needs to do, because there's water issues in many different parts of the state, and they are different depending on the geology in that area, is we really need to take a look at our water quality specialists and making sure that we're fully funding the DNR so that we have enough water monitoring happening in the state and we fully understand the problem, so that we fully understand, you know, the evidence-based science behind what is happening. So I hear from people all the time, both about groundwater quality and quantity and the need to preserve our natural resources. I would say in the Central Sands, it's one of the biggest issues that we are facing, just as in Kewaunee County, it's one of the biggest issues. And so because these issues are so unique to the geographic area, I think the best bet is for us to fully fund in the budget DNR scientists that not only can understand this issue, but can provide recommendations as to what's causing it and how we can fix it. So I do think, you know, in the last budget, we saw DNR scientists being eliminated. And instead, what I think we should see in the future is not only should we be funding the DNR more, but we also need to be talking more about these issues. Water affects everybody. There's no one that goes through a day without drinking it. And so we need to make sure that we're protecting it. It also affects, you know, our tourism-based economies. It affects property owners. It affects the economy in general. So we need to work together on this issue, and I would hope that in the future, instead of seeing layoffs in the DNR, we'd actually be hiring more scientists to work on this issue.
Senator Tiffany, I know you've got opinions about this matter. Was the DNR hurt and crippled by the elimination of those research science positions?
No, not at all. In fact, anyone that wanted a job that was in the Bureau of Science Services, they were able to find a position in their discipline in another part of the department. Now, maybe some of them chose not to stay with the department. I don't know if that's the case. But you had a bureau within the department where it was off kind of doing their own thing. They really needed to be brought within the discipline of the agency. I would just ask this, and I ask this as a sincere question to my colleague. Do you know, are there any studies currently going on in regards to Kewaunee, specific to Kewaunee or anything like that? I'm not sure if there are any, but I just ask that to see if she knows of anything.
Katrina?
Well, it looks like there's a research project going on that's actually led by the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh and the U.S. Agriculture Research Service. So that really proves why we need to continue to invest in the University of Wisconsin system and save the Wisconsin idea. I think the partnerships that we have with universities are critical to our economies and to our communities. And I also think that we need to continue working with the DNR to make sure that they recommend, for example, better application methods, and making sure that they discuss with farmers and anyone participating in land use on these issues about best practices to prevent future contamination.
Let's look at some late-breaking legislative developments. The Assembly voted this week to lift the moratorium on nuclear power in Wisconsin. The governor says he'll sign it into law. Let me start with you, Katrina Shankland. Is this a good move or a bad move?
Well, I'll say this. I know my caucus was split on it, depending on the district and what their constituents had to say. But, you know, from my perspective, I have a renewable energy background, and I've been in the legislature. This is starting my fourth year, and I've noticed that the legislature has not been talking about a comprehensive energy plan that includes renewables. In fact, I used to sit on the Energy Committee. We never had a conversation about renewables, ever. And so it's surprising to me to see that we continue to talk about technologies that, you know, once the governor signs this bill into law, it's unlikely for the next 15 to 20, maybe even 30 years, that we would see any nuclear power plants come into the state. But what is likely and what we know is we're seeing more and more solar and wind jobs across the nation, and it's a huge part of bolstering a new economy that has jobs that can't be outsourced. And so I think, you know, looking at the future, Wisconsin is one of the only states in the nation that hasn't complied with the federal government's requirement that we write our plan to comply with the Clean Power Plan rules. And part of that plan includes renewables for most states. Wisconsin hasn't even started writing that. So what I would like to see when we talk about energy is looking at investing in wind and solar as well as other renewable energy to not only bolster our economy, create family-supporting jobs that can't be outsourced, but also to provide clean energy for everyone and limit our carbon emissions.
Tom, Tiffany, same question for you. Was removing that moratorium on nuclear power a good idea? And what's the proper energy mix between nuclear power, fossil fuel, and renewables?
Yeah, I would support that proposal. I think it should be an all-of-the-above approach and let those that can compete rise to the top without huge subsidies. It was really unfortunate that the Kewaunee power plant closed, the nuclear power plant, very unfortunate that that closed. I would just say that if you are for those that are sincere about climate change and being very concerned about that, I think you have to consider nuclear. And I think that's where you see the split that Representative Shanklin referred to in her caucus. There's some that understand that if you truly believe that climate change is man-caused and it's a serious problem, that you have to consider nuclear as one of the options.
We have a couple of comments from Matt on our Facebook page. First one, if our budget was balanced by Governor Walker, why then did he attempt to borrow $13 billion to deal with our crumbling roads? And also, the Walker administration turned down a $23 million federal grant to expand high-speed internet in the North Woods. Is this grant still available? Tom Tiffany, we'll go to you first, and then Katrina Shankland.
Yeah. He got his numbers a little bit wrong there. He said 13. I heard $13 billion in terms of borrowing for transportation.
Oh, it did say $13 billion. Did
I
say million?
Yeah, it was $1.3 billion that the governor proposed.
Yeah,
and then we pared that back to $500 million. It was increased a couple months ago at the discretion of the Joint Finance Committee to $850 million.
Yeah, I think there was probably a typo on our Facebook page.
Sure. But anyhow, yes, there was some more borrowing for roads and. That has been the case in the past. I mean, roads are something that are there long term, and there has been some borrowing. I didn't support the last round of borrowing, another $350 million. I didn't think that was appropriate. I thought $500 million was an appropriate number. As far as broadband grants and turning down federal money, well, I've got really good news. And if you look at the Connect America program at the federal level, we have a number of providers here in the state of Wisconsin that are going to participate in that. And Wisconsin over the next 5 or 6 years is going to give about $90 million to rural underserved areas. So those dollars are being taken by some of our domestic carriers here in Wisconsin. And by the way, two budgets ago, we started a state-based program to advance rural broadband here in Wisconsin that I voted for.
All right, we're going to take another very quick break. You're listening to a legislative forum with Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican from Hazelhurst, and Representative Katrina Shanklin, Democrat from Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Florentine Opera of Milwaukee, La Lingerie, and Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. Proud sponsors of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
We are back on Route 51 with our legislative forum featuring State Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican of Hazelhurst, and Katrina Shanklin, Democrat of Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you got questions or comments about the current session, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Well, this should come as news to no one. The country is polarized and the state of Wisconsin is polarized. It seemed to boil over Tuesday on the floor of the state assembly. Here's a report from our state capitol. Capitol reporter Sean Johnson.
The exchange started when Democrats called on Slinger Republican Bob Gannon to apologize for a press release he issued blaming Wisconsin's economic woes on Milwaukee's murder rate and black unemployment rate. Democrats called the comments racist. Gannon responded,
"Put your focus where it belongs and stop worrying about me. Your drugs, your crime knows no border."
When Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barker rose to again call for an apology, Gannon made a gesture.
"Give me the finger, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make a motion to reprimand him. He just stood up. I'm sure Wisconsin and I will plainly show him giving me the finger."
Minutes later, Gannon confirmed the gesture.
"In the heat of the battle, I made a gesture that is improper for the floor, and I apologize for that."
Gannon did not apologize for his other remarks. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Katrina Shankland, you put out a press release highly critical of that exchange. Was it as bad as you thought it was?
Well, I have to say, you know, I haven't been around for decades like some of my colleagues have, but many of the people who had been around for that long said, you know, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. I think it's important to note that not only did he give the minority leader a middle finger, but he did it in response to the minority leader asking him to not make racist comments. And I think that's the key, is he apologized for giving the middle finger, but he never apologized for his comments. So I thought it was very shocking. I don't think that anyone that's elected by the people of this state should be spending any time making comments as a government representative that are not only divisive but extremely racially intolerant, and there's no place for that in Wisconsin. And I think, you know, both parties in the past probably would also have agreed with that. So I would hope that, you know, we're going to continue to call on him to apologize for his comments, because that's why this was a discussion on the Assembly floor. And in the future, I hope he wouldn't embarrass the state assembly and the state as a whole with that kind of rhetoric. It's not welcome here.
Tom Tiffany, you of course serve in the Senate, not in the Assembly, but as a Republican, what's your perspective on what happened there?
Yeah, the gesture is inappropriate. I mean, he shouldn't be doing those things. Now, Representative Shankland will not remember this because she wasn't in the legislature. But the first year I was there, one of her colleagues, who's still in the Assembly, threw a drink at one of our members during a debate. One of her colleagues, who's still in the Assembly, hurled an epithet at a female member of our a female Republican in the Assembly. So, and I'm not saying that we should judge this by tit for tat, but I think a little bit of historical context should be considered here. But the gesture's inappropriate, Glenn. That should not be happening on the floor of either legislative body, and it does not happen in the state Senate.
Do you think the original comments were racist? As I understand it, Representative Gannon was commenting about the high crime rate in the city of Milwaukee and the number of African Americans who are victims of that.
Yeah, I haven't looked at his comments in regards to that, Glenn. I'd have to take a look at it in order to comment.
All right, let's move on to something that was also quite controversial. In October, the state assembly passed legislation to exempt political crimes from the John Doe process, making it easier, according to critics, for politicians to escape investigation. There were also bills that dismantled the Government Accountability Board and allowed corporations to directly donate money to political parties. Representative Shankland, we'll let you handle that, and then we'll go to Tom Tiffany.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, that trend was extremely concerning to me, especially if you look at the past few years. I have watched Republican legislators add more hurdles to voting, gerrymander, or, you know, redistrict the maps for legislators in a way that makes it much more difficult for the people's voices to be heard. We've also seen them attack our state's open records law. We've seen issues with them complying with the open meeting law. So I would say that this is, you know, part of a long string of actions that either limit public input or limit access to our government. And I am extremely concerned about it. I think it's important to note that Republicans called a special session on dismantling our nonpartisan government watchdog and adding even more money, including for the first time in recent history, corporate money and dark money, money we don't know about, secret money, into politics at a time when, you know, they're spending taxpayer resources to do these bills in a special session at a time when Wisconsin saw in 2015 over 10,000 layoffs, the highest amount in the governor's administration. So instead of helping and passing bills to help politicians get ahead, what I believe the legislature should be doing is doing the people's business to help the people get ahead. We hear all the time from people who work 2-3 jobs and just cannot get ahead. The wages are stagnant. They don't have access to a secure retirement, for example, and they just cannot afford the cost of child care and tuition. So those are the types of bills that we should be working on, is finding ways to empower the middle class and bring more people into it. Instead, we saw, I think, a special session on protecting politicians' jobs. I was extremely disappointed in it, and I think in the future what we need is people who go to Madison to represent the people's agenda, not the politician's agenda.
Now, Tom Tiffany, your response to the changes that were made to the John Doe process and the Government Accountability Board?
Yeah, first of all, in regards to our campaign finance laws, the judiciary at both the state and federal level said you need to change your campaign finance laws because they are unconstitutional. In fact, there was a federal circuit court judge who termed our campaign finance laws screamingly unconstitutional. Said the same thing about the John Doe process. You really need to understand the John Doe process, why we changed it. A witness in a John Doe process is under a gag order. They can't say anything. As a result of this, you had a district attorney in Milwaukee County in league with the head of the Government Accountability Board, and it's all documented for those that want to look at it, that used the John Doe process to go after people participating in the political process. Let me draw our listeners a picture. So you've got a home in southern Wisconsin where law enforcement comes and they shine Klieg lights, bright lights, on the front of the home in a pre-dawn raid, rap on the door, go in and SWAT attire, and say, you cannot call your attorney, you are under a John Doe. One of those homes that was raided, a 16-year-old boy was home. His parents had left earlier on a trip. He was home alone, and they said, you can't even call your parents. Is that America? I wrote that John Doe bill. I was the author of it, and it was the right thing to do, because while they found somebody that would fight back on this in a man named Eric O'Keefe, this has been used by prosecutors on poor people in our cities, in particular in Milwaukee, for a long time. This has been honed. It was time to change the John Doe process here in Wisconsin. Prosecutors still have many, many tools to be able to fight political corruption. And there will be political corruption in the future. There has been in the past. There will be in the future. They still have the tools to make sure that political representatives are doing the right thing.
Katrina Shankland, you've got 30 seconds. We've got to wrap things up. We're almost out of time.
Sure. Just a couple things real quick. If the John Doe investigation is so bad, then why did Republican legislators only exempt politicians who are committing political crimes from the investigation, but all other crimes were kept in? I think that's one thing. The other thing to know is, you know, if there is an investigation now, they have to go to the Joint Finance Committee to ask for money to do it. And I don't think a lot of the legislators are going to approve that if they're the ones being investigated. So I thought that was a sad process, because it did seem like they were basically giving themselves an extra privilege, and I don't know anyone who wants to see more privilege for politicians. I also would just really quickly like to respond to the rural broadband and the road situation. I think it's important to know that Wisconsin roads are actually the third worst in the nation right now. So the Joint Finance Committee, the Republicans basically punted on doing a long-term sustainable funding solution for our roads, and I think in the future we need to stop putting it on the credit card and actually pass a real funding solution. As far as the broadband, the listener was right. We did turn down $23 million, the governor did, in 2011.
Tom Tiffany, you've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, Wisconsin is moving forward here, and when there's too many strings attached for some of the federal grants, we turn down the money, and that's appropriate. We don't need stuff that has excessive strings attached. But we've got Wisconsin moving forward. Talk about broadband initiatives, they're happening. more money to schools. I know some people claim that there's more money. In this budget, there's more money for our public schools here in the state of Wisconsin. And so there's some good things happening. Lots of challenges out there yet, and we're going to meet them as we go forward.
We want to thank today's guests, 12th District State Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican of Hazelhurst, and 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland, a Democrat from Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks also to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, and the producer of today's program, Mackenzie Martin. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, our guest on Route 51 is 3rd District U.S. Congressman Ron Kind. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. It can be downloaded at wpr.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.